Hello, and welcome to Ogs Talk, your local weekly talking newspaper, this Tuesday the 26th of April, 2022. Sunset this week is around 20 past 8, and sunrise around 20 to 6. The readers for this edition are Leslie Court and Marianne Moxon. Halfway through, we'll have a musical interlude featuring a song by Cat May Clark entitled Kiss. Here is a notice from the Oxford Playhouse. There will be an audio-described performance of Persuasion at the Oxford Playhouse on Saturday the 14th of May at 2:30, with a touch tour at 1 p.m. The Oxford Playhouse have now produced an audio brochure. It includes the information about all audio-described performances, and this is available as a CD. To order the CD, email marketing@oxfordplayhouse.com or ring the box office for both tickets for Persuasion or more information about the CD. Phone 01865 305 305. And now, the weekly news.
Seven dogs given Disney-themed names after being found dumped inside cat carriers in a park are now enjoying happier lives in new homes, including some in Oxfordshire. Moana, Tinkerbell, Ariel, Arthur, Belle, Tarzan, and Jasmine were discovered by a member of the public, crammed into tiny cages next to a pond. Five were stuffed inside two cat carriers, while another pair were confined to a small wire crate without access to food or water. The frightened dogs, some of which are now living with families in Oxfordshire, were taken into the care of the Blue Cross Animal Charities Rehoming Centre in Southampton, close to where they were discovered. Some required veterinary treatment before they began their rehabilitation. Moana, a Yorkshire Terrier and Dachshund Cross, was suffering with some hair loss, most likely related to stress. Tarzan, Jasmine, Ariel, Moana, and Tinkerbell all went into foster care, while Arthur and Belle stayed at the Blue Cross Centre to help them overcome their fears. The charity was unable to trace the owner, as they were not microchipped, so they went about trying to find them new homes. After nearly a month in Blue Cross care, all seven dogs have found new homes in Oxfordshire and neighbouring counties. The Blue Cross, which has a rehoming base in Burford and charity shops in Kidlington, Chipping Norton and Whitney, the charity recently celebrated its 125th birthday. Last year, it provided veterinary help to more than 31,000 pets and rehomed more than 9,000 animals and assisted almost 13,000 people through its pet bereavement support service.
Blenheim Palace welcomed thousands to a packed weekend of Easter events for families. The fun-filled activities took place each day of the bank holiday weekend between 10 a.m. and 5 p.m. in the walled garden. Events included circus skills, balloon modelling, bubble for performances, Punch and Judy puppet shows, bungee trampolines and special appearances from the Easter Bunny. Alongside the Easter Bunny, other colourful characters were wandering around the palace's grounds. Families could also book themselves onto a Hotel Chocolat children's workshop for a fun way to learn about cocoa and chocolate. Throughout the one-hour session, the budding chocolatiers learned the history of chocolate and how it is made, as well as how to decorate their own chocolate masterpiece before they received a beautiful package to put it in.
The manager of a restaurant, which has been in Oxford for 50 years, has been told of the community's outcry that it will be closing down this month. The Nosebag on St. Michael Street opened in 1971 and has been a firm feature in the city centre for half a century. Last Wednesday, the restaurant announced that it would be closing its doors for the final time on April 27th. Posting details of the closure on Facebook, manager Mandy Cragen wrote it was with sadness and regret that the business was to close. She added that the Nosebag has had the pleasure and privilege of meeting and working with so many wonderful people during the years. Camilla Chia, whose family owns the Nosebag, explained the closure was primarily due to the pandemic and said it was a miracle the restaurant had made it as long as it did after the pandemic. However, the staff crisis in the hospitality sector, and foot traffic moving away from that part of the centre and towards the Westgate due to the closures of Debenhams and Boswell's also had had an impact on business.
Blackwell's in Oxford has hosted what could be its final Easter egg hunt, with the company being taken over by high street book chain Waterstones. The Westgate Centre branch hid paper eggs around the store for children to hunt down on Good Friday. Children who found an egg could claim a prize. The free event was aimed at children aged 5 to 10 and part of a range of Easter entertainment for families and children across both Oxford branches of the store. These included a creative workshop to make a chicken which lays Easter eggs and a Mary Had a Little Lamb themed collage activity, creating countryside scenes. In March, family-run Blackwell's was bought out by Waterstones. It had gone up for sale in February. It's understood Waterstones will keep Blackwell's trading under the same brand name. Blackwell's president, Toby Blackwell, said Waterstones, which also bought family-owned Foyles in 2018, had shown it understands the advantages and benefits of holding diverse, iconic bookselling brands. He added, "I view them not just as a buyer of the business, but as the right buyer at the right time. This is a positive outcome for Waterstones, Blackwell's and all our customers in the UK and abroad, who will still be able to enjoy the individual nature of what both brands offer."
Plans to partially demolish the Clarendon Centre in place of student accommodation have been approved. Oxford City Council's planning committee met last week to analyse the proposals. Plans for the Clarendon outline taking the whole roof off to turn it back to its former open street character. In addition to student accommodation, the Clarendon transformation will see new retail buildings and offices with a new public square and pedestrian cycle access through to Frewin Court. The scheme will also see the creation of a new public open space, including a water feature, public drinking fountain, and seating. Councillor Alex Hollingworth said, "This is a very major application, one into which a great deal of work has gone. There are clearly a couple of harms that have been picked up, but they are minor ones. Elements of this, which is very positive, is research and development space." Mr. Hollingworth moved to accept the proposals, which Susan Brown, the council's leader, seconded. She said, "I think this is a really good example of how planning should be working. We've identified there's a massive lack of greenery in the city centre, but this will dramatically improve the biodiversity of the city centre." Eddie Pepperell will hope he feels the benefits of a short break when he tees off at the ISPS Handa Championship this morning. The Abingdon golfer is due to start his opening round at 2:40 p.m. alongside countrymen Jack Singh and Andrew Wilson. Pepperell played last month in Qatar and has not made the cut in an event this year. Cricket. Harrison Ward smashed 204 runs as Oxfordshire started their NCCA T20 campaign with two very different wins over Berkshire. The opener hit an unbeaten 74 as the visitors cruised to an 8-wicket victory in the first match, before adding a sensational 130 off just 59 balls in the second fixture. The game was much tighter as Oxon squeezed home by three runs. A sunny day at Falkland began with Johnny Cater putting the hosts into bat. The Oxon attack largely contained their opponents and Berkshire were 79-5 at the end of the 14th over, but they improved to close on 143 for 9. Ward began with three straight fours in reply, and it was a sign of things to come. He was assisted by Ollie Clark, who arrived at the crease with Oxon 58-2 and helped see the visitors home with 7 overs left. Berkshire put the visitors in for second T20, and Ward continued where he left off, smashing 8 fours and 12 sixes to help the visitors reach 212-7. The hosts set off at a terrific pace, but Joe Thomas chipped in with regular wickets, and one came in the crucial final over. The bowler kept his nerve and had Matt Uxley caught by George Tate, with the hosts needing 5 off the final 3 balls.
A thief has been banned from all the shops in Oxfordshire by a court. Caroline Walls of Linnet Close, Oxford, appeared at the city's magistrates' court on April the 7th. The court found that Walls stole three bottles of Bacardi to the value of £61.50 from Sainsbury's on January the 15th, 2021. Oxford magistrates handed out an eight-week prison sentence suspended for 12 months. Walls was also banned from entering any retail premises in Oxfordshire except her local pharmacy. She must also undergo a drug rehabilitation requirement, be reviewed every 6 to 8 weeks, and attend appointments with a responsible officer.
Ambulance staff have been put in a dangerous situation due to underfunding, a trade union has argued, as the ambulance service declares a critical incident. On Wednesday, April 6th, South Central Ambulance Service declared a critical incident due to extreme pressures across its services. Although the ambulance service was able to move out of its critical incident status, it said pressures on the whole healthcare system remain significant and they will continue to monitor the situation closely. The ambulance service explained its focus will remain on those patients with life-threatening or serious injuries and illnesses. It added that there will be some unavoidable delays in getting to those patients with less urgent needs and urged people to use 111 to seek advice. Liam Kelly, Southeast Head of Health at Unison Trade Union for ambulance staff, believes that a decade of underfunding has put the ambulance staff in a dangerous situation. This, coupled with added pressures from COVID, has led to several critical incidences. Unison is calling for immediate action from the government to provide the funding that the ambulance service needs. Controversial plans to charge most motorists to drive through the city are the battleground in the forthcoming council elections as parties go head-to-head on the scheme. The Oxford Zero Emission Zone, ZEZ, was launched in February as a pilot scheme, covering just a handful of city centre streets, with polluting vehicles charged up to £10 a day to use these routes. Some vehicles are eligible for a discount from the daily charge, while some are exempt. While most motorists have been unaffected by the pilot, a more radical expanded scheme, the first of its kind in the country, is expected to stretch across the wider city centre this next year, meaning anyone unable to afford an electric vehicle may be forced to ditch their cars or pay up to £20 a day. Political parties fighting for city council seats differ in their views on both the financial implications and broader delivery of the ZEZ, while independent candidates are seeking to pick up votes by opposing the scheme. Sajid Malik, a leading voice among independent candidates, said the ZEZ should not be expanded to include the whole of central Oxford in the next 12 months, which is the current plan. The expanded ZEZ will make Oxford's cost of living crisis even worse. It will hit most people who regularly drive around the city centre, with extra bills totalling hundreds, if not thousands, of pounds a year. The ZEZ should only expand when electric cars and vans are affordable to everyone. At present, electric vehicles are only affordable to the privileged few. This should be called a congestion zone rather than a zero emission zone, because zero means no pollution or no vehicle. A spokesman for the Oxfordshire Green Party also criticised the ZEZ scheme, describing it as greenwash.
Now the sun is coming out, it's a good time to take a stroll to one of your favourite pubs where you're allowed to bring your dog with you. There are lots of pubs in Oxford and across Oxfordshire where dog owners are allowed to bring their pets, and at some pubs this is even encouraged. Not surprisingly, the Doghouse Hotel in Farringdon Road near Abingdon is dog-friendly. But there are lots of other good pubs and cafes to walk to which also welcome your dogs. The Bitten Oxford website has come up with a list of pubs which are very dog-friendly. It says, "We've been seeing more and more four-legged friends around Oxford recently, so we thought it only fair to put together a list of the best dog-friendly pubs and restaurants across the city." High on its list is the Fishes in North Hinksey Village, and reviewers add, "The Fishes is a great pub with ample green space for your fluffy friend to enjoy. Dogs are welcome outside or even snuggled up next to you in the bar area." Next is the Vaults Cafe. and garden. Beg your pardon. Next is the Vaults Garden and Cafe in Radcliffe Square off the High Street. The review says, a cafe with a view and a half. If you sit outside, you'll be looking directly at the gorgeous Radcliffe Camera. Not only do they welcome your doggo, they also serve incredible cakes and a huge variety of hot and cold food throughout the day. Also getting a mention on the list is The Perch in Binsey, which has a large garden and plenty of room for dogs. The reviewer for Bitten Oxford says, every time I've set foot in The Perch, there have been pups galore. The huge garden is the perfect setting for your furry pal, and they'll even provide a water bowl. The pub garden backs onto Port Meadow, so it really is the perfect spot for a post-dog walk, pint or bite to eat. It goes without saying that the food for humans is pretty tasty too. The Rickety Press in Cranham Street, Jericho, is also on the list. Part of the Dodo Pubs group, the pub even has biscuits for your furry friend. You could also focus your walk with your dog around the White Hart, a pub in Whiteham Village adored by foodies. An award-winning 17th century restaurant and pub, it has become even more dog-friendly in recent years, as it now has an extended covered outdoor space with cool dining pods, more space for more dogs. The Bear and Ragged Staff in Cumnor is also a good location as a base for a village walk with your dog. Or you could try the Chester Arms in Chester Street off Iffley Road, Oxford, which will also welcome your dogs. The Jericho Tavern in Walton Street is another good option for dog owners, as it has lots of outdoor space, but it sometimes has live music, so be warned in case your dog doesn't like loud noises.
Listeners to digital radio in Oxfordshire will have more choice of stations if plans by county broadcasters are agreed by regulator Ofcom. Oxdab, a group of community FM radio station managers, has applied for the licence to run a small-scale digital service in Oxford. Analogue radio services, for example Radio 1 or Radio 4, are broadcast from a transmitter using separate radio frequencies. Digital radio DAB groups a number of radio services together into what is known as a multiplex. Small-scale DAB is a new platform with transmitters based in the heart of Oxford and will carry a variety of different services. Martin Steers, director of Oxdab, said, "We can deliver a platform which will see established radio broadcasts alongside exciting new projects to be broadcast to the residents of Oxford. By having local broadcasters, they are able to supply information that matters to local people." Joining Mr. Steers at Oxdab will be Dean Cavanaugh, who has operated a trial for the last 7 years and is co-director of a software development company working on small-scale DAB and has the experience of rolling out a DAB network of local stations. Completing the team is Barry Clack, director of Whitney Radio. He said Oxford had lacked a good local radio station since the demise of Fox FM in 2009. He added, "When Fox joined a large networked radio group, that local identity, which listeners enjoyed, was lost and never returned. This identity and structure is what has made Whitney Radio a success."
Plans have been submitted to convert an unused former hairdressing salon in Cowley Road, Oxford, into a home. Chameleon Unisex Hairdressers at 17 Cowley Road has been sitting unused and the developers describe it as dilapidated. Plans have been submitted to change it from a commercial property into residential use. This includes raising the front area floor level, new electrics, a new toilet and shower facility, and a new kitchen area. Developers also want to add a new brickwork cavity wall frontage, which would match the neighbours at 19 Cowley Road, and a window and front door access. New French doors would also be put in to give access to the garden. The decision deadline is May the 27th, and the planning reference is 22/00730/full. That's F-U-L. Councillors have approved the building of 80 new homes in Oxford, insisting they are affordable. The City Council's Cabinet gave the green light to building the homes in Mill Lane, Marston, despite concerns from local people. About 750 further affordable homes are in the pipeline for delivery in the next 5 years, a council report states. Prior to gaining unanimous approval by the Cabinet, councillors discussed the need for affordable properties in the city. Alex Hollingsworth, the Council's Cabinet Member for Planning and Housing Delivery, said, "There are thousands of people who are in desperate need of a home, and this is a really critical part of our work as a council." Cabinet Member for Citizen Focused Services, Mike Rowley, added, "We're incredibly short of houses for massively overcrowded families in real need, so that's going to make a huge difference to people's lives." The Cabinet agreed to give project approval for the acquisition of affordable dwellings to be developed by Oxford City Housing Limited, OCHL, the Council's wholly owned housing company set up in 2016. 80 affordable homes will be built at the Armands Farm site, with the budget for the scheme coming via the Council's housing revenue account. A council report states approximately 700 more affordable homes are in the development pipeline for delivery in the next 5 years. On the Armands Farm site, the report adds, "This is a scheme of 80 much-needed affordable homes with a mix of unit types from one-bedroom flats to four-bed houses. 32 homes are to be let at social council rents to households on the housing register, and 48 homes are to be developed as shared ownership tenure." The scheme was approved by the council's planning committee in October. The freeholder of the land is Oxford City Council. It is currently subject to an agricultural tenancy agreement, the report adds. The tenant is aware that the council intends to give notice on this imminently with respect to this site in order to facilitate this development. This report seeks delegated authority to sell the land from the council to OCHL, that's Oxford City Housing Limited, for the purpose of undertaking this development and then to buy back the affordable housing on completion. The intention is that the site will transfer to OCHL with planning consent in place and with vacant possession. The sale price will be based on an external land valuation of the site at market value in February 2022. The report states OCHL intends to use its new procurement framework to appoint a construction company shortly.
Billy Bowden breathed fresh life into Oxford United's playoff push with a late winner to sink high-flying MK Dons. The substitute latched on to Captain Dean Lewington's loose pass 4 minutes from time before playing a give-and-go with Matty Taylor and firing inside the near post. It cut the gap to the Sky Bet League One playoff places to 2 points and rewarded a vastly improved second-half display. After third-placed MK were comfortably on top before the break. The roof came off the Kazan Stadium, and United held out for a huge 3 points.
Several schools in Oxfordshire are full or at overcapacity, according to the first data of its kind to be published since the pandemic. In Oxfordshire, 6,666 pupils were impacted by overcrowding, among around 880,000 nationwide, according to data released by the Department of Education for the academic year 2020-21. A school is overcrowded, in excess of capacity, when the number of pupils enrolled is greater than the number of places. 14 schools in Oxfordshire, 6 of which were secondary schools or sixth form colleges, were deemed overcrowded. In 2018-19, the most recent comparable year due to coronavirus pandemic restrictions, there were 5 overcrowded secondary schools. In Oxfordshire, the busiest school was the Charwell School, which had 1,850 school places but 2,073 children on its roll, meaning it was 12% over capacity. The biggest growth in numbers has been in the sixth form, according to Charwell School, who say they expect the figures will soon return to pre-pandemic pandemic figures. A spokesperson said, "In the past, we have responded to specific requests from the County Council and have taken more than our maximum number of students from our catchment area. We have done this for a limited number of years, determined by our capacity as well as need. There are no plans for us to take more than our planned admission number of students in the coming years." The Association of School and College Leaders said a record rate of overcrowded schools nationally is being driven by increased demand for secondary places, compounded by perceptions linked to Ofsted reports. The Education Policy Institute, EPI, said overcrowding increases the average class size, placing additional demands on teachers and has implications for admissions. Head of analysis at EPI, John Andrews, said the number of pupils attending primary schools peaked in 2019 and is expected to continue to decline, but this could impact funding, which is determined on a per pupil basis. In Oxfordshire, 8 primary schools were deemed at overcapacity, with the majority at undercapacity. A Department of Education spokeswoman said, "The vast majority of pupils will be offered a place at one of their preferred schools this coming year. Pupils are also now more likely to have a place at a good school, with 87% of schools Ofsted rated good or outstanding, compared to 68% in 2010.
3 Oxford colleges are looking to hire the first ever person whose role will be dedicated to sustainability at the institutions. Some Oxford colleges have a sustainability fellow who works on environmental matters in addition to teaching and research responsibilities. And the university has a dedicated environmental sustainability team. However, the new position created by Exeter, Lincoln, and Corpus Christi is the first of its kind among Oxford's colleges. Head of Exeter College, Professor Sir Rick Traynor, said, "The creation of this post is a significant and exciting step forward for Exeter's commitment to environmental sustainability. The successful candidate will be passionate about protecting the environment and will be adept at developing evidence-based strategies and will possess drive to achieve lasting success."
There was no bad behaviour in this class. Everyone had to behave themselves every minute of the day. Children at Cumnor Primary School travelled back in time to experience what life was like in the classroom in the Victorian era. They dressed as Victorian youngsters and left their modern school building to spend the morning in the old village school in 1988. The timetable was just as it would have been then, with formal lessons, strict discipline, and even a visit from a school inspector, alias school governor Dr. Robert Evans. At morning break, the pupils played traditional Victorian games with wooden hoops, marbles and jacks. Headmistress Terry Jory said the pupils had been working on a project about the history of Cumnor. She said they'd been so interested in Victorian times that it was decided to let them dress up and take them back to that period. She added, "We tried to make it as authentic as possible and the children really enjoyed it." The Cumnor School has been on its present site for more than 50 years. Previously, pupils were taught in the centre of the village in the old school, which has now been adapted for community activities. Cumnor Private School has about 200 children aged 4 to 11, split into 7 single class year groups from foundation through to year 6. Its catchment area includes the villages of Cumnor and Farmore and some roads in the Cumnor Hill area. It's a voluntary-controlled Church of England school with close links with St Michael's Church in the village.
Three Oxfordshire firefighters are heading to the Polish-Ukrainian border to develop vital equipment and put smiles on children's faces. After a huge drive at the weekend to collect teddy bears to send to Ukrainian refugees, the firefighters are en route with the donations and a 4x4 donated by Oxfordshire Fire Service. They are also taking fire and rescue equipment and PPE. The Fire Service expressed its gratitude to those who had donated. The trio set off to join a fleet of fire engines and other vehicles being donated. Watch manager Mark O'Connor from Banbury Fire Station said, "There's a brotherhood within the service worldwide, so we're just doing our little tiny bit to help colleagues out." The firefighters from Oxfordshire Fire and Rescue found out last Thursday that the service was joining the aid appeal and described the last weekend as a bit of a mad rush. On leaving, the father of two said there were a couple of tears from his partner, but admitted it hasn't quite set in yet. Before leaving, the firefighter of 30 years and his colleagues put out a request for teddies to be donated to local fire services, and he praised the incredible response over the weekend. Watch manager Steve Potter, who also is based at Banbury, and station manager Andy Ford from TAME joined the trip to Eastern Europe. Father of two, Mr. Ford, a firefighter of 30 years, said, "I am so pleased to be able to take part and join in with this. It's nice to be supporting Ukrainian forces that are really stretched. We've managed to fit in all the teddies, though the number of donations was absolutely beyond our expectations." Mr. Potter, a firefighter of 15 years, said his six-year-old was quite chipper about him going after he explained that they were going to help people.
Kiss my shoulder, kiss my ear, kiss my lips, and kiss me here. Kiss my shoulder, kiss my ear, kiss my lips, and kiss me here. Don't freak out, it's okay. Let us go and seize the day, and let us start again. Let us start again. Green eyes, blonde hair, come on, that's just not fair. Love and life, same thing. What will the future bring? My shoulder, kiss my ear, kiss my lips, and kiss me here. Kiss my shoulder, kiss my ear, kiss my lips, and kiss me here. Don't freak out, it's okay. Go and seize the day, let us start again, let us start again. Green eyes, blonde hair, come on, that's just nothing. Love and life, same thing, what will the future bring? I need your kiss.
A uni student is hoping to show she has what it takes to be crowned Miss Eco UK. Alex Evangelou, a 25-year-old social work student at Oxford Brookes University, has previously been crowned Miss Oxfordshire, but is now seeking success in a pageant she feels passionately about. She said, "It's a newer contest and fits me much more as a person. It fits who I am and what I stand for. It's something I feel confident and passionate about. Being outdoors and in nature is so important." The finals will take place in July, and Miss Evangelou outlined how she impressed the judges, including her work with environmental group We Do Ethical. For entering the finals, you tell them about what you've done for me. That's the beach cleans, tree planting, litter picking, and how I've worked with We Do Ethical. They really like that I've done that, she said. Before the finals, Miss Evangelou will be completing her studies at Brooks, having already finished lectures, with just placements and her dissertation left. She said, I didn't expect to start university and then get hit by a pandemic, but it's been so rewarding and I feel confident in where I am.
An affordable office space for businesses, community and church groups is being created in Didcot as part of an Oxfordshire-wide programme. Meanwhile in Oxfordshire is a project started by a community interest company, MakeSpace Oxford, which aims to convert vacant units across the county into independent shops, cultural venues, creative studios and co-working spaces. Oxfordshire City Council developed the programme with £1.9 million of funding from the government's Getting Building Fund. Soha Housing has partnered with MakeSpace Oxford to let out its unused office space, Royal Scott House in Station Road, for 3 years. Soha House has partnered, the Housing Association no longer uses the space since it moved to a hybrid working model. Penny Lawrence, Strategic Director of MakeSpace Oxford, added, "We are absolutely delighted to be working with Soha as an enlightened landlord letting a newly refurbished former vacant office and community hall."
Listeners to digital radio in Oxfordshire will have more choice of stations if plans by county broadcasters are agreed by regulator Ofcom. OxDAB, a group of community FM radio station managers, has applied for the licence to run a small-scale digital service in Oxford. Analogue radio services, for example Radio 1 or Radio 4, are broadcast from a transmitter using separate radio frequencies. Digital radio, that's DAB, DAB, groups a number of radio services together into what is known as a multiplex. Small-scale DAB is a new platform with transmitters based in the heart of Oxford and will carry a variety of different services. Martin Steers, director of OxDAB, said, "We can deliver a platform which will see established radio broadcasts alongside exciting new projects be broadcast to the residents of Oxford. By having local broadcasters, they are able to supply information that matters to local people." Joining Mr. Steers at OxDAB will be Dean Kavanagh, who has operated a trial for the last 7 years, is co-director of a software development company working on small-scale DAB, and has experience of rolling out a DAB network of local stations. Completing the team is Barry Clack, director of Whitney Radio. He said Oxford had lacked a good local radio station since the demise of Fox FM in 2009.
School pupils are being crammed into chairs and desks as children grow bigger and bigger. That's the message from an Oxfordshire teacher speaking at the Union Conference. The NASUWT's annual conference heard from speakers during a debate on class sizes. A survey of more than 3,000 teachers by NASUWT found that 91% believe their class sizes are having a negative impact on pupils' progress and attainment, and 90% believe that they are having a negative impact on pupil behaviour. A staggering 95% said class sizes are having a negative ability on their ability to meet the needs of all pupils, and 78% feel class sizes are having a negative impact on the adequate provision of learning resources for pupils. Representatives at the NASUWT conference in Birmingham passed a motion calling for governments and administrations across the UK to introduce maximum class sizes in all key stages. Meanwhile, 67% think the size of their classroom has had an impact on increasing transmission of COVID-19 amongst their pupils. Only 21% of teachers said the size of their classroom or teaching area was always adequate for the subjects they teach.
Drivers fed up with missing out on a parking space at Oxford's Westgate Centre have been told to use the park and ride facility instead. At some peak times, parking spaces at the shopping centre can run out as people travel into the city centre. Despite offering 1,000 parking spaces, the car park can quickly fill, forcing drivers to find somewhere else to park their vehicles. Oxford City Council operates car parks at Gloucester Green, Oxpens and Worcester Street, though these are more expensive than the more competitive rates at the shopping centre. A spokesperson for the council said the park and rides offered a way out of enduring the misery of queuing for parking spaces. The spokesperson said the city and county councils, in partnership with ODS, Oxford Direct Services, operate 5 excellently located park and ride facilities served by frequent bus connections that offer an economical way to get into and out of the city centre without having to endure the misery of queuing for parking spaces. The County Council has been responsible for on-street parking enforcement in Oxford since February 1997, and it gave similar advice to drivers. A spokesperson said, "The Westgate car park is closed when it approaches full capacity to prevent it leading to heavy queues of traffic in Thames Street, Oxpens Road and Botley Road. The closure of the car park for temporary periods when queuing causes congestion has been agreed between the County Council and the car park's operators as a temporary solution in these circumstances. The car park is reopened when occupancy falls sufficiently or delays on the surrounding network are reduced. We would urge visitors to the city centre to use the bus or the park and ride sites where possible. There are plenty of parking spaces available at the numerous park and ride sites, eliminating the need to find one of the limited number of parking spaces which are available in the city centre. The County Council oversees on-street parking in Broad Street and St Giles, with rates also higher than those charged by the Westgate. Although the Westgate did not respond to a request for comment, the shopping centre's website advises use of the park and ride system. Their website states, "Westgate has an underground car park across 2 floors. You can also travel using park and ride for your journey into the city centre." The website further encourages use of the park and rides, describing the scheme as easy, great value and convenient. In terms of getting to the Westgate by car, the website says, "Parking is limited at Westgate, so we recommend you use park and ride for your journey into central Oxford."
Oxford Brookes University has been named one of the world's top universities in more than a dozen subjects. The university was ranked one of the elite universities for 16 subjects in the latest QS World University Rankings. Meanwhile, the University of Oxford was ranked second best university in the world behind the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. For Brookes, which was ranked 429th overall, 3 more subjects gained recognition compared to last year, with top performing subject hospitality and leisure management retaining a spot in the top 20 globally. Professor Alastair Fitt, Vice Chancellor of Oxford Brookes University, said, "I am very pleased that Oxford Brookes is again recognized in these global rankings. It is also encouraging to see the university gain world recognition in 3 additional subjects compared with 2021. The global pandemic has meant that the past 2 years have been very challenging for everyone. However, we remain fully focused on providing high-quality education throughout the period. I am very proud to see the tremendous hard work and testing times rewarded with the news of these latest rankings."
An Oxford climate activist has revealed why she took part in protests in London earlier this month. Theresa Garlake took annual leave from her work at a mental health charity to take part in Extinction Rebellion protests, including gluing herself outside the entrance to Shell's London headquarters. Excuse me. On April the 12th, Ms. Garlake was one of more than 60 people who blocked the entrances to insurance marketplace Lloyd's of London. Extinction Rebellion aimed to close the insurance giant for the day using superglue, chains and bike locks to block entrances to the building. Staff already inside were allowed to exit. Ms. Garlick said, "We took this action to call for an end to all new fossil fuel investments and insurance. Time has almost entirely run out to address the ecological crisis which is upon us right now. I feel I had no choice but to do this, since those in power are not taking the drastic steps that are needed to avert the climate emergency that's staring us in the face." She then took part in action at Shell's London headquarters the following day. "We know that the use of fossil fuels is driving climate change. I don't want to be a bystander while this happens," she said. Ms. Garlick has been involved with Extinction Rebellion since joining protests in London 3 years ago. She said it was due to concerns at the time. The climate emergency was very much on the agenda with Greta Thunberg and the school strikes. "I felt it was very important to be part of the numbers, and I was so inspired by the care people had for each other. Everyone was so committed to bring about change, with the non-violent perspective, which is a very important part of Extinction Rebellion. I know that protests can sometimes be disruptive, but I feel that this is the only way to bring about the change that is needed. Disruption is the only power that I have left to stop a much greater crime against humanity taking place." Ms. Garlick highlighted the increase in the volume of the conversation surrounding climate change over the last 40 years. She said, "The alarm was first raised in the 1980s, and before then there were concerns, but it's been consistently ignored, possibly because it's such a monumental thing to grasp. It's very real what we're facing, and we're already seeing the consequences. People are raising the alarm calls now because it's so urgent. We have a few years to turn this round, and the time to act is now."
Oxford City Stars went down fighting as NIHL Division 1 South Champions Streatham proved too strong in their playoff quarter-final. Shane Moore's men had a mountain to climb after losing the first leg 4-1 at Oxpens, but they battled to a respectable 5-2 defeat in the return fixture. It saw them go down 9-3 on aggregate. Stars now switched their attention to the 2022-23 season, by which time they expect to have a new permanent head coach in charge. Moore, whose official role is head of hockey operations, led a stand-in team following Dean Birrell's exit last month. Stars dug in from the first buzzer at Oxpens and only trailed to Brandel Miles' strike, although the host thought he should have been penalised for holding Will Birch. Streatham scored twice more to lead 3-0 at the end of the second period, before Josh Florey's late effort saw them tie the third 1-1. At 4-1 down, Stars only had a glimmer of hope in the capital, but their chances increased when Jakub Klima put them ahead. Streatham showed their quality to take a 3-1 lead on the night, with Dax Hedge's goal proving only a consolation in a 5-2 defeat.
A Bampton resident is selling his home and moving. He is so fed up with Downton Abbey fans taking photos through his windows and a constant stream of tour guides repeating the same script perhaps 4 or 5 times a day. And with a new Downton movie due for release at the end of the month, he fears things can only get worse. Mark MacArthur Christie lives near St Mary's Church, where Lady Mary's wedding to Matthew Crawley was filmed for the hit ITV series. His cottage is 10 yards down the lane from the library, which doubles as the cottage hospital. He says he feels like he's living in a zoo. He said the tourists do all sorts of stuff. They stick selfie sticks up to people's bedroom windows. That happens all the time. Recently, someone had his girlfriend on his shoulders with a telephoto lens taking pictures over someone's garden wall. They have knocked on our windows and asked, "Do you live here?" I used to have a motorbike with a sidecar, but people were putting their kids in it to take pictures, so in the end I gave up and sold it. They took a brick off my garden wall as a souvenir. These are old houses and right on the street, and it feels as if every time you look out there is someone looking back at you. We have met some lovely people. As individuals, the tourists are delightful, but we are simply a profit centre for the tour companies. MacArthur Christie said the village had 30,000 visitors in 2019 and even a few tour buses in lockdown. On a bad day, it's now about 20 tours a day, which is a lot when the village is about the size of a postage stamp, he said. A minibus would roll up with somewhere between 15 and 18 people on board, plus a tour guide. The guide would stand outside the library, the church, or on the corner of the green by our cottage to give her tour, all within easy earshot of the houses on the south side of the church, even on a Sunday morning. He accepts the village has benefited in some ways, as the surge in tourism partly paid for the old grammar school to be reconstructed and refurbished as a community hub. MacArthur Christie said, "The archive has benefited, but no one else. The tourists are not here long enough to spend money in the shops, and there's not much to spend money on." He said, "It's not just him. His neighbours have become pretty fed up too, since the village was first approached to be a filming location in 2009. Mr. MacArthur Christie, who has lived in Bampton for 20 years, is now thinking of selling his house and moving somewhere quieter within the village. And with Downton Abbey, A New Era, the sequel to the 2019 film Downton Abbey, due to be released on 29th of April, he feels sure it will create a new surge of interest. Definitely, he said, there was a major uptick when the last movie came out. President of the Oxford Guild of Tour Guides, Kate Billimore, said, "Our qualified badge guides follow strict guidelines regarding group size and management and sensitivity to their surroundings. They bring small groups to Bampton. They leave coaches outside and almost exclusively use whisper systems so as not to create a disturbance. We would support any move by Bampton Village Council to restrict group sizes, numbers and frequency, and would be happy to offer any advice that would help."
Oxford Cheetahs enjoyed the perfect night as they marked their long-awaited return with victory at a sold-out Oxford Stadium. In their first competitive fixture for 15 years, Jason Crump's men beat Scunthorpe Scorpions 49-40 to get their SGB championship season up and running. Cheetahs sealed victory in the final heat, with Australian international Troy Batchelor and captain Scott Nichols pairing up to bring the hosts home with a 5-1 win. It sent the 2,000-strong crowd into a frenzy on an emotional evening at a stadium that had not hosted Speedway since 2007. Cheetahs lost 58-32 at reigning championship winner Poole Pirates 2 days later, but they had a chance to gain revenge against the South Coast side. Sandy Lane's second sold-out meeting in as many weeks took place after the Oxford Times went to press, and Nichols was excited to race in front of another packed house. Campaigners fought long and hard to bring the Sandy Lane venue back into use after it closed, before businessman Kevin Boothby secured a 10-year lease for the site last June.
Temporary changes to the junction north of Oxford, where cyclist Ellen Moylanen was killed, have been welcomed by safety campaigners. Mrs. Moylanen died after being involved in a collision with a lorry at the Oxford Parkway junction, Oxford Road, Water Eaton, near Kidlington, on February 8th. Now, Oxfordshire County Council has installed temporary measures aimed at reducing the speed of vehicles turning left towards the station. They consist of traffic cones and signs, although the council says the cones will be replaced with heftier water-filled barriers, pending decisions over what permanent changes should be made to the road layout. Dr. Alison Hill of campaign group Cyclox welcomed the changes. She said, "We are very supportive. This is something we asked for in a letter to the council signed by 173 people in February. We asked for a shortening of that junction so it would cease to be used by people speeding along up to the junction and keeping their speed up. Some people watched it in operation and there appeared to be some slowing down. I think it's doing the right thing." Reuben College administrator Mrs. Moylanen's death on February the 8th was the fourth cyclist fatality in Oxford since November 2020. Within weeks, on March the 1st, university researcher Dr. Ling Felci lost her life when she was struck by a lorry on the Plain roundabout in the city centre. Mrs. Moylanen and Dr. Felci's deaths prompted an urgent consideration of cyclist safety in the city. The Oxford Mail understands roads campaigners met council officers last week to discuss improvements that could be made to the plain. Commenting on the changes to Oxford Road, a spokesman for the County Council said, "Following discussions with cycling campaigners, Oxfordshire County Council brought in changes on the A4165 by Oxford Parkway station on Tuesday, April the 12th. It follows the death of cyclist Ellen Moylanen, who died following a collision with an HGV on February the 8th. The left-turn slip road into Oxford Parkway has been shortened to make turning vehicles drive more slowly and more careful. Cones have initially been put in place, although these will be replaced with water-filled barriers in the future, before deciding whether or not to make the change permanent. Some warning signs urging drivers to check for cyclists have also been installed. An inquest on Mrs. Moylanen was opened by Assistant Coroner for Oxfordshire Joanna Coleman last week. Oxford Coroner's Court heard the 44-year-old died from multiple injuries. A full inquest is due in September.
A record number of Easter eggs have been donated to hospitals by a fundraising group. Didcrop Group Play to Give, which was founded by brain injury survivor Andy Baker in 2007, has delivered more than 439 eggs to people in need. The chocolate treats are donated to the charity, which gives them to the Oxfordshire Children's Hospital and to siblings and families of patients in the NCU at John Ratcliffe Hospital via charity SSNAP, Support for the Sick Children, Sick Newborn and Their Parents. A total of 200 were collected in 2020 when the charity first launched the appeal, and thanks to the donations being doubled this year, the charity hopes to do the same again next year. We will definitely look to run our appeal for a third year after such an excellent drive this time round and with such tough economic times as well. The amazing generosity we continue to receive all year round from our community never fails to amaze. A cracking Easter egg hunt at an Oxford museum was popular with families. The Oxford University Museum of Natural History ran its extraordinary Easter adventure until April 24th. The free event allowed families to explore both the museum and Pitt Rivers Museum while spotting eggs, checking out Easter-themed specimens, and taking part in a range of self-guided family activities. Natasha Smith, exhibitions officer at the Museum of Natural History, said, "It's been fantastic to see that the trail has been so popular with families over the holidays as they have explored and enjoyed the museums. It is buzzing and busy again." The Museum of Natural History is home to a series of collections, including four species of dinosaurs discovered in Oxfordshire, and the Red Lady of Paviland, the oldest remains of a human burial ever found in the UK.
That was the last news item for this week. If you have any comments or feedback regarding the Oxtalk service, you can either send an email to mail@oxtalk.org.uk or telephone Margaret on Oxford 01865 862 873. Please remember to leave your name and contact number with your message. There are now several different ways to listen to Oxtalk. As usual, we will be sending out copies on the USB memory sticks in their yellow wallets. You can listen to the current week and the previous month's editions by going to our website, www.oxtalk.org.uk, where you can either stream the news straight away or download the news should you wish to listen later on using an alternative device.
Notice to listeners of Oxtalk who use a smart speaker to access our service. There are new instructions for anyone who listens to Oxtalk using Alexa. To listen to Oxtalk in this way, you now have to use the Talking Newspaper skill. First, you need to enable it. Simply say, "Alexa, enable Talking Newspaper." Then, to listen to Oxtalk, please follow this procedure.
Alexa, open Talking Newspaper.
Welcome to your Talking Newspaper skill. Please say the name of a newspaper, or a town or city you would like to hear from.
Oxford.
Here are the following newspapers nearest to Oxford. Please pick a newspaper name. Oxford and District Talking News, Whitney Talking News Latest Edition, Whitney Talking News Previous Edition, Whitney Talking Magazine, Wallingford, and District Talking Newspaper. Or do you want to hear more?
Oxford and District Talking News.
Do you want to listen to Oxford and District Talking News?
Yes.
This is Oxford and District Talking News.
If you have problems listening to Oxtalk in this way, it could be due to the way that your Alexa device is set up. Please check the settings with whoever set up your device in the first place. If you still have problems, please contact Oxtalk and we will try to help. Please note that you can no longer listen to Oxtalk by phone. Access via Google devices is also currently unavailable, but we'll be back soon.